we weren't trying to change a behavior. People were driving for dollars for decades, and we just made it easier for them to do that. And then as we grew, we found out people also want to run comps. They want to know the MLS data is providing that comp. They want to pull lists. And so we've been able to do that and all do it in the mobile app, which is pretty unique. I don't know that there's another solution that does all that in a mobile app. So
welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
David Lecko is the founder and CEO of Deal Machine, which is the highest rated mobile app to help real estate investors find off-market deals. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. It's a pleasure to be here with somebody who's got such a wide experience in real estate as you, right? Yep. You did single family to commercial to laundry facilities.
This is true, but this show is not about me. This show is about you, David. So I'm excited to have you on the show. I've actually in a previous life, and I'm finding out from you here before we kicked off the show, is that maybe I'll start using Deal Machine yet again. There was a previous life when I was doing single family and I used Deal Machine quite a bit. So it's kind of fun to have you here on the show many years later. But before we get into all of that, there are three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I started in Indianapolis. I'm now in Austin, Texas, and I took an airplane to get here, believe it or not. Actually, that's a lie. No, I had to drive me and my cats on the road trip. But to seriously answer your question, I was actually, my life really sucked before real estate investing. I was the only software developer at a company, as well as the tech support and customer service representative. So I was sleeping with my computer under my pillow, and at my best friend's wedding, I even had to leave and go fix a bug on this software. So, real estate was a way to earn more money, but also kind of earn my time back. And I took the advice to drive for dollars and look for properties. I built a little widget for myself to look for those first few properties. And that turned into a company called Deal Machine. When I found out other people were willing to spend money to try new marketing methods for their own off-market deal search. So I am just blown away by how other people have been able to improve their lives using the app I created to do it myself. So I've got about, I've done 15 real estate deals and I have 12 rental properties. They're all in Indianapolis.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about, there's a split there where you find out that your business might be worth more than what you were doing in real estate itself. Like you found that selling shovels to the miners became more profitable than mining itself. Kind of the old, gold miners like that. That's what that, and not that you can't make money in real estate, but that's kind of what you are. Like you're selling a service to real estate investors at this point. So talk to us about that kind of transition for you and how that process worked.
Yeah. So I got into the game because I wanted rental properties. I wanted that cash flow that would securely give me that cash flow every month, no matter what the stock market was doing. And even no matter what the real estate market was doing, I mean, rents don't go down if you look at the Federal Reserve graph. So I just knew that was my calling. I bought about, I'd say, 9 rental properties. And then I stopped buying it because it had been 3 years or so. Deal Machine was really picking up steam. And I started focusing on that. It was a bigger, faster growing opportunity. And then fast forward 5 years to now, and I noticed, I was like, man, I got like $1 million appreciation on these 9 houses that I was holding. I wish I would have bought a lot more. And so now I'm, I'm buying more properties again. I've done just my 3rd deal this year so far. So kind of like a slow, steady start back into it this year, but it's been really fun. I'm loving doing it.
Now that's interesting. That's not the answer I would have expected. I mean, because you've built a cool platform. Deal Machine's an awesome app. For those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, well, now you know the name of it. Go look it up, find it, and figure out how to use it. But tell me, I mean, you were a software developer, so this kind of came to you naturally. But what was, like, how did you figure out, one of the questions I always had, because this was, what year did you launch Deal Machine? 2018, 2019?
Yeah, it was actually, I started working on it in 2016. Okay. And then I put it on the App Store in 2017.
Okay.
And then, it wasn't well known and say, I would say until 2019.
Yeah, we were using it in 2018 because I hired a guy and I gave him the app and I just said, hey, you know, here's how you drive for dollars. Go out, find these houses, take photos, and then bring them back. And that's what he did, actually using the Deal Machine app. But one of the things I always found to be interesting was how did you, because you can pull data from counties, but how did you get it to where it would work nationwide? Because county data is so disorganized on a county by county basis that finding accurate information can sometimes be a bit of a cluster. So
yeah, it only worked in Indianapolis. People really started talking about it though, and it was just terrible that they couldn't use it in their counties. I was wasting that moment where they wanted to try this new app that was out there, but it wasn't set up to use in their. So what I did was there's like several companies that aggregate this. The best is actually First American Title Company.
Okay.
And so, but we tried a lot of different data providers and ended up being able to license that from one of those aggregator companies. So we get daily updates. And so then that's live in the app. So if you've added a property, you're marketing to it saying, hey, do you want to sell your house? If it sells, then the app will automatically update, shut that mail off, and it'll tell you, hey, this property changed hands. So we're turning off the marketing.
Right. No, that's cool. That makes sense. That makes sense. And that was a question I probably hadn't researched, you know, or thought more about until now, because I'm rewinding 5 years of my business going, how did they get that? So you went to a third party aggregator of data, not directly to the source, because at the source was just such a quagmire of relevant information. I'll say it that way. So talk to me about Deal Machine. What's it been like growing that app? What's it been like growing the user base, the iterations of it, the team that supports it? Talk to us about just the business side.
Yeah, I feel thankful that I started this journey for freedom. And luckily, I was able to build a business without any investors. And I have a business partner who's my best friend. But we kind of always have to please, you know, the customer. But there's not necessarily like an individual that would tell us to do one thing or another. And so I've been fortunate that we've had such a great partnership over these 7 years without having to do that, which is so typical with software. Also, I mean, I think the true reason why that happened is because we weren't trying to change a behavior. People were driving for dollars for decades, and we just made it easier for them to do that. And then as we grew, we, you know, found out people also want to run comps. They want to know the MLS data is providing that comp. They want to pull lists. And so we've been able to do that and all do it in the mobile app. Which is pretty unique. I don't know that there's another solution that does all that in a mobile app. So that's been pretty wild. The growth, I mean, like I said, I only wanted one property, and that was the outcome of making this widget, you know, and I continue to be thankful for the success that we've had and those that we've been able to help. And man, one of the stories that just sticks out to me is Cody Schaefer is a guy I met a few months ago at a conference, and he was an Uber driver making $30,000 a month because he'd drive Uber, take the money he made from Uber, put it into his marketing to market to these rundown houses that he saw while he was delivering food. And I was like, dang, you've got to be like the highest Uber driver out there. And so Cody is a guy who just makes me smile. I'm like, dang, he's using my app to do that.
That's cool, man. That's really, really cool. Talk about the iterations of this app. I mean, because that's, it seems like keeping up, and again, I'm not a software developer, I can barely send an email. So keeping up with the iterations of like the new developments, keeping up with stuff in the app store, keeping up with because I'm sure you get 1,000 requests for, hey, can you make this thing, you know, fly us all to the moon? Like, no, I can't add that one on the list, but thanks for the offer. Like, how do you keep up with those just probably endless requests for updates?
Yeah, well, so first of all, it looked really ugly because I made it myself. But I knew how to use it. It was functional, but it just looked ugly. And then I started getting a few signups per day. I was getting on 30-minute phone calls with them to tell them how to use the app. I was like, man, it's got to be more self-explanatory than that. So step two was I called my partner, and he wasn't a partner at the time, but I was like, you're a better developer than me. You've got to make this look good. And so people need to know how it works without calling me for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was step two. And then step three, we did listen to all the feature requests. And in fact, we built them all. But Sam, I've got to be honest, like I always am, I'm always honest, such a weird saying. I actually regret doing that because all of that complexity actually made it confusing for a new person who was just trying to create financial freedom for themselves and do their first deal. It made them have more analysis paralysis. So then step four is we kind of made it very simple again, even though we can do other things like run comps that it didn't do in the first place. It's just, if there's an advanced feature, it's kind of tucked away. It's very hard to make complex things simple, but we've put a lot of effort into making it simple. And then five is just reduce the bugs further, make sure this is the most stable experience possible so that it is always feeling polished and nobody can tell when we've updated it. It wouldn't disturb their workflow, but we've, you know, kind of gotten a really good groove of that. So those would be like the five iterations, I would say, with Deal Machine.
That's wild. Yeah. And that I think is the challenge of all. And it's funny, I was talking to another software firm here this morning on the show, and we were talking about that, you know, taking the complex and making it simple, making the dashboard simple, making it to where there's no coding, no training, no like, hey, watch the 87 videos on how to actually get this to work.
Right.
Process. Which, you know, I find that most things that do require that. So you kind of dialed back a lot of the more robust features and went back to the basics.
Yeah. Like for example, a lot of times I don't know what a property's worth. I will guess, but the comps tool is helpful for me to see that. We now have the AI. When that all came out, we put that in the app and then it has access to real estate data, which is unique. The AIs out there don't have access to real estate data otherwise. And so it can help me know what is the property worth? What does it think the comp is worth? And so I can also ask it for advice on responding to an objection from a seller. And that's a tool that's helping a lot of beginners get past that analysis paralysis in that chat AI format, right? You can ask it a lot of things just all right there in the chat window. So that's just one example of how we've incorporated something that's a little bit more advanced, but still in a simple way.
Right. And I guess getting into the comps thing, I mean, that kind of goes, and if you have the feature, that's cool, but it kind of goes against the whole driving for dollars methodology, which is that really we're out here, we want to find 100 properties that we want to market to. And if they're dog looking properties, yeah, I want to take a photo of that and I want to market
right.
to it. Like, I'll figure out
what's working. So the comps comes later when they call you back from your mailer,
right?
And then you put together an offer. So that's what the comps are for, is when you're later in the process getting that call back.
Right, right. You don't need that the day you're standing there in front of the house going, man, like,
right.
This grass is 8 feet tall. I wonder what this house is actually fair market value is. Like, who cares? Take a picture. Like,
yeah.
Send them a postcard. Can I make you an offer? Let's talk about that side of it. I mean, when I was using the app back in 2018, I mean, you would drive up to a house, you could take the picture, and then you could mail a postcard right from the app, which I thought was one of the coolest features. Do you guys, and again, I haven't used the app in 5 years, so tell me, is that something you guys still do?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I just did a deal a couple months ago and she called me because she's like, hey, this postcard you sent, it has the picture of my actual house. Now I didn't take it, but I pay a driver $20 an hour in Indianapolis to drive around and look for rundown properties.
Yep.
So he took the photo and I knew it was a good house because I could review the photos. I was like, yeah, this looks rundown. And so then she was like, well, I called you because it looked like you put in a lot of time into this. I got other mailers, but I called you because yours stood out. I ended up missing out on the deal, but I kept in touch with her and said, hey, is this thing closed yet? I just want to make sure you're taken care of. Funny enough, it fell out of the deal fell through. And so then I got it for my original price and I did end up buying that deal for $122. I hear anecdotally that these mailers, they're actually causing people to call me instead of somebody else. So that's something that I've continued to do, is send the mail with the picture of the house on there. I think that's part of the magic.
Part of the magic, absolutely. And the fact that, again, it's within, and I'm not, you know, I'm telling you things you already know, but it absolutely was. When I was using it, I'm like, dude, this is so powerful that I can take a picture of the house, you know, or like you, you know, I had a guy that was driving around taking photos for me. He could take a picture of himself and like, hey, here I am, you know, standing in front of your property. Like, I'm actually here.
Yeah.
And so it removed a lot of the complexity and hit mail right from the app. So I think that's really, really cool. I love the way that you've also simplified it when you added on too many features. Like, this is too hard. We're going to dial this back. Where does Deal Machine go from this point forward? What's the horizon look like for you guys?
I think there's a lot of people that want to quit their jobs and build a business with a proven business model. I mean, most of the people use our app to do wholesaling real estate. I think we've only even scratched the surface. So my team, like the app grew on its own, which was crazy. I'm so lucky for that. And we've been able to reach more people this year specifically than we have in the past because we've started doing marketing. So, you know, I just am excited about the people we can help achieve an awesome life where, you know, they're not bound by just a 9-to-5 and they can make more in a month than they possibly did in a year sometimes, which is always really, really fun to do. So that's what I'm really excited about. In terms of what can Deal Machine, the app, do, I would say there's one thing, Sam, that it still doesn't do yet. And we will be getting to that eventually, but it's receiving the phone calls through a number that is incorporated in Deal Machine. So that way, you know, when your cell phone rings, you know, hey, this is like a money phone call. And then the call can be logged automatically in Deal Machine. So that hasn't been done before, but I think that's going to really close the loop on that thing we all struggle with, which is like follow up and entering notes in the CRM and keeping track of things like that. Because just like the deal I mentioned, that follow up was awesome. And that's what got me the deal. So if the calls are coming back in through Deal Machine, I know we can help people with that follow-up piece as well.
Right. Yeah, the money's in the follow-up. So that's really cool. I love that. It's always fun to hear. I mean, we never solve all the problems. We just kind of, like, every new solution creates another problem to solve, which is kind of the way of life in its own right. But it's also, you get to work on the ones that are even more fun. What about on the commercial side of things? I'll ask a question that pertains to me personally, in the sense that we are in heavy acquisition of laundry facilities. And yeah. So let's assume I drive up to maybe this is where the challenge becomes. So I'm going to present two challenges to you. I drive up to a laundry facility. Will Deal Machine recognize commercial properties as well, or is it just residential?
Yeah. So, you know, your typical single family type list, you know, might be code enforcement list or absentee owners with high equity or expired MLS listings, all of which you can pull in Deal Machine. But on the commercial side, you can search buildings by units if you're looking for apartments, for example. And then we have this fun part of the app called weird and unusual property types. So beyond just being entertaining to look through, we've got dry cleaner / laundry service, and we also have self-service laundromat. And then right below that is a slaughterhouse stockyard. So you're probably not interested in that. You probably just stop right there. But I thought that would be a fun example of what else is in that weird and unusual property type category.
Yeah, I'm going to stop at the slaughterhouse or stop before we get there. But thanks for making that option available.
One of the other property types was, there's an investor who just invests in cell towers. And I thought that was really interesting. He said most carriers actually rent the cell tower. Yeah. So that's even a property type that you can search for.
Now that's really cool. I mean, was it Mir Waldman, the guy that was he the one you talked to about the cell tower leases?
I can't think of his name, and I don't know if that was his name.
Okay.
But you know somebody?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. He specializes in brokering cell tower leases. So anyway, for those of you who are listening to the show, look up Mir Waldman if you're just curious, like, who the world, what's he talking about?
M-E-I-R. Really cool niche.
Yeah, really cool niche. He came on the show maybe 2 years ago. And of course, I can't forget his name because he's the only guy I've ever met that specializes in cell tower leases. But yeah, you want to go back and find that one. It's somewhere, I don't know, 300 episodes ago. But we're talking about something totally different than Deal Machine. He got off on a tangent. But that's a cool property type that you can look up. And those are oftentimes the things that are just, they're so nuanced. Well, let me throw this nuance at you. At one point, I was investing in parking lots, like surface parking lots and parking garages. Do you guys have that as a weird and unusual asset type?
We do. And I actually had a dream before I ever bought any property. I was like, man, I would love to own a parking lot because there's no upkeep on it. And Dude. They charge $40 a parking spot per night sometimes.
So we bought a parking asset in Houston, Texas. We bought 19. I mean, who cares? We'll talk about a lot of fun things in the show today, but 19 parking spaces. We paid $1.2 million for it. Okay.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It was a lot. I mean,
yeah,
it's a lot and it was a lot, but it threw off $150,000 a year in net operating income.
And not a lot of expenses, right?
Like, what's it going to do? Flood? We'll wait for the water to go down. Like,
right.
Okay. It's a service parking lot. So yes, there are opportunities like that where it's like, okay, this is just a stupid return.
How did you find that deal?
Driving for dollars.
Heck yeah. That's awesome. You just sent the mail to the owner and they called you back.
Researched them, making maps. I mean, that's a whole other conversation from another day, but yeah, it was literally just, okay, you know, mapping out all of the parking lots in Houston, Texas. I literally have a Google map still with every pin of every parking lot, finding the owners, which is a total pain in the neck, and then making offers. And so, yeah, it can be done. So it, but just to your
point, you're my idol.
No, sir. I'm just copying a page out of your book on driving for dollars. So that's really the way that works. I mean, so that's really cool that you have that asset class in there, because nobody else at this point has really ever said, I mean, it's just been a very manual process of determining what those are. So that is fantastic. I'm about to compare what you have in your database against what I can go back to 5 years ago or 4 years ago and say, hey, what was I missing in any particular city? So that's really cool. Let's talk about something even more random and fun. We talked about racing. You moved to Austin. And we moved to Austin and you got into racing. What's that about?
Yeah. So back in 2019, my friend said, hey, I'm doing this race where you bring a $500 car and you drive it for 24 hours. And we've got three drivers. We need a fourth. Would you want to do it? I'm usually a person who likes just weird stuff like that. And even though I had never driven this car or been on a track, I was super pumped. So I said, yes. And the first time I drove it, we didn't even practice with it. And the seat was like too small and I was strapped in too tight. And I was like, dude, I cannot do this. I was the second driver. Cars were flying by on the track and he just shut the door and he's like, do it. See you later. Be careful. And that was the first time I ever drove and it took all of my mental capacity. And I was not even going up to speed, but it was all almost like too much, right? But it was so refreshing that I couldn't think about anything else. I was just focused on what was going on right there.
Right.
And then I started to notice every lap, I got a little bit more comfortable. So it opened up more capacity. I could go a little bit faster. And then just competing to see how fast could I go. And that was just an amazing feeling. Like I said, it was a break from anything else that was going on in life. And that was something I really, really loved. So then I moved to Austin like a year and a half ago. There's a club racetrack here. It's $300 a month and they have a Miata race series. You have to have like a 1991 Miata and it's only got 100 horsepower. That is the cap. And then they strip it all down and everybody is the same car. So then it's skill based. So there's like 30 people out there. We do 18 races per year. This is, I've done 10 races so far. So I got a coach, worked a lot with him and went from getting lapped, to now I finished like fourth place was my best finish, the last race we did. So it's been fun just to get better at stuff. And that is just one of the most rewarding things in the world to me.
Dude, that's so cool. Like what a nuance and what a talk about niche. Like that's way niching down a Miata 1991 Mazda Miata, 100 horsepower car. You had a $500 car that was supposed to run for 24 hours straight.
Yeah, that's part of the challenge. It's that racing's not just for rich idiots. It's for all idiots, you know? And so, but yeah, so now the Miata race series, the car is definitely, I mean, I've spent like $14,000 to buy the car and set it up properly. Sure. But it is one of the best cars to actually learn on, because if you do not execute the corners in the highest speed way, you don't have horsepower to fix the problem. So you're going to be slow the whole straightaway. And so it really is great for driver development and being out there in a real race against other cars. It puts you in these situations where it's not only good enough to be faster than somebody, you have to know how to pass them too. And that's like a totally different thing when you're trying to, get around somebody who's like of a similar skill level as you. So it's just a lot more to learn. And it's so much fun, like I said, to get better.
Wow, that's really, really cool. That, I mean, how fun is that? And again, like that's the thing I love about stuff like that. You said it already, but it's like you can't think about anything else. You can't think about your work. You can't think about deal machine. You can't think about your properties. You can't think about, you know, pending closings. It is, I have to race, and there's nowhere else for my mind to go except for right here.
Exactly.
That's so cool. And like, not for just for rich idiots, it's for all idiots. So that's pretty fun, man.
That race series is called the 24 Hours of Le Mans, which is a play on word to that famous race called Le Mans in France. So it's it's like a race that they do those all around the country.
Dude, that's cool. I have to check that out. The 24-hour race. I'm going to write that down here. David, it's been a blast having you come on the show today and talk about Deal Machine, talk about you growing the company, the app, how you've used it personally, and then how it's making a difference in other people's lives. I don't know if you know this as well. I'm a Hoosier as well. Actually, I used to own a business in Carmel, Indiana, which is where I think you're from. So it's a blast to have you here on the show today and talk about a lot of different random stuff. But if our listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
Got to do a selfish plug for my own podcast, the Deal Machine Real Estate Investing Podcast. I co-host it with Ryan Haywood, who's done 400 deals after he did a 14-day challenge back in 2019. So he and his wife, they made $8,500 in their first deal. Now we co-host a podcast and we talk to people who have quit their jobs through this wholesaling real estate business model. And so that would be a great way to get to know me, because just like this podcast, I just, you know, learned so much of random stuff talking with you. And that was so fun. But I'm also on Instagram. DLecko is the best place to contact me on Instagram.
Fantastic. DLecko on Instagram. We'll make sure we put that there in the show notes. David, thank you again for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.